This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All you ladies pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. All you ladies pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. Just do it, do it. Do it, do it, do it now. Lick it good. Suck this pussy just like you should. Right now, lick it good. Suck this pussy just like you should. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. That's right, my neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. That is one of my favorite songs of all time. And my guess, My Neck, My Back by Kia. The year is 2004, and I know what you're thinking. Oh my God, 2004. I'm so happy to be back in this year because it was an amazing year. And to start showing you what an amazing year it was, I'm going to read you the popular movies of 2004. I'm just going to do 10, okay? Number one, The Grudge. Huge. Number two, Dodgeball. Okay, also big when it came out. Closer, sexy movie, loved Closer. The Village, also very good. I think that's M. Night. I think M. Night Shyamalan hitting us with that. Then obviously we have the one and only Napoleon Dynamite, which came out in 2004. Huge for culture. Secret Window, a favorite of mine that I recently rewatched. And then it was actually a big year for comedy. Anchorman also came out in 2004. So did Along Came Polly. But I would be completely remiss if I didn't talk about my favorite movie that year, which was obviously White Chicks. White Chicks was my favorite movie, and on that note, I'm gonna introduce my guest today, who in 2004 was a white chick and was watching White Chicks in Indianapolis, Indiana, the one and only Megan Gailey.
Oh, Megan. Wow. I thought it was gonna be Mean Girls, and then the real bait and switch. I think Mean Girls must have been 2003.
Let's see. Wait, hold on. Mean Girls. Mean Girls, I think. I mean, there were some really good other movies in 2004. 13 Going on 30.
That was 04? Wow.
Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind. The Terminal, where wow. Tom Hanks did that crazy accent.
I mean, in an airport. Yeah, I went to the Indianapolis premiere of Mean Girls. And
you did?
Mm-hmm, one of my friends worked at the radio station. And so, but you know, when an Indianapolis premiere means you just get to go the night before.
But that's really fun. And oh, also yeah, cool. Major.
Oh, yeah. I got a Mean Girls tank top that I wore to high school the next day with a cardigan over it because you know you can't show your shoulders.
Well, I'm about to get into it because, you know, this whole podcast is all about high school and I have to know because you are kind of you're a legend on all of my podcasts. You've been on all of my podcasts. You're an iconic guest and you always have such you are truly a storyteller. And I just I realized when I was thinking about you coming on, I was like, I don't know if we've ever touched upon high school. I feel like we did a lot of talking about college.
Mm-hmm.
But high school Megan is someone that I don't really know. So I kind of want you to paint the picture for me. It's 2000. You're a freshman. What's going on with you? What's your style? Do you have a clique? What's your high school like? What are the general vibes?
Okay, so I'm so thrilled to be here. I have been waiting for the formal invitation to talk about high school. I find a way to weave it in because I peaked in high school. And there's 2002, 2003, 2004, top of my life. I'm never going to regain that. I'm now a married mother and it pales in comparison. But when I got to high school, so I was a freshman when my second oldest brother had just graduated. So he was a freshman in college. I was a freshman at Lawrence Central, LC Bears. And my brother was really cool. Mm. And then I have another older brother, a little bit older than him, also really cool. So there was a lot of pressure, and I think I got there in 2000 and everyone said, this is their sister. Like, I was underwhelming. Right. But then I found my footing and I hit a stride and I was a classic overachiever.
I
was one of those kids who had a really impressive college resume. And the thing is, I genuinely loved activities. I did not miss one day of high school.
Really? What do you mean?
I did not miss one day. There was an incentive at my high school because attendance was so bad that if you had perfect attendance at the end of the semester, you got to skip a final. And your senior year, if you had perfect attendance, you got to skip all of your finals.
What?
Yes.
Wait, what do you mean? Okay, so hold on. I guess by the time you're a senior, when you're taking your spring finals, they're meaningless. They don't matter. So you get to skip those ones that are like meaningless anyway.
Yes. But then essentially you're graduating like 6 to 8 days earlier. Like, you're done with school. You don't even have to go in anymore.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yes. I think the bad part of this would never happen in a post-COVID world, was that kids were going to school the sickest they've ever been. Because it was like, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
So like, there were a lot of blankets over children. It honestly seemed like, so my high school was, I think, drawn in a way to make it quote unquote economically diverse. So they had kids from all different backgrounds. And so I ended up driving almost 45 minutes to go to my public high school and passed two middle schools and another high school to get to my high school. And that was great. The traffic was annoying, and it was annoying that it was that far. But I think the way that they put everyone together in this, hodgepodge ended up being very beneficial to me in the long run.
Right.
I think they would call it socioeconomically diverse was very important to them, which then ended up being racially diverse as well. To the point where when I got to college, I was like, where are all the black people? Because my high
school. Because I feel like Purdue
is white.
Is white, white, white.
White, white, white. And then a lot of foreign students coming from different Asian countries, because there's a very, very strong science, engineering, aeronautical departments there.
Aeronautical?
But then, oh, yeah, all the astronauts.
Megan coming in with that word today.
All the astronauts went to Purdue. Pretty cool. So it's like, it's foreign kids and then it's agriculture kids. So it's like country bumpkins from Indiana and then like rich, crazy rich Asians kids all come together. So that was its own hodgepodge. But my high school ended up being very diverse, given the fact that it was in Indiana. And people were like, right. Wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, it was. I think it ended up being probably 55% white. And then I think maybe 35% black. And then Asian,
I'm shocked Latinx. To hear that. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked to hear that because, yeah, in my mind, I'm thinking Indiana and I'm thinking white people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's also me just like not knowing. I mean, Indianapolis is a big city.
Yeah.
It's not like you're, 12th largest, I think. It's not like you're in in the middle of nowhere, Indiana. No. You're not going to school in a cornfield. Like, there's industry and there's businesses, and it's like, there's a big airport in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis will appreciate you saying all these things. It's going to mean a lot to them. But even when you're in, like, the quote-unquote city, you're always less than 15 minutes away from being truly smack dab in the middle of a cornfield.
Right.
So there would be,
kind of love. I think it's kind of chic. You know what I mean? High low, have both.
There would be guys that would drive tractors and would drive
to school.
Yes. And but then they like lived in a subdivision. So it was like, okay, but I did have friends that lived on farms.
Yes.
But okay, they were like horse girls, you know?
Yeah, and that's chic. And horse girls are ultimately the chicest of them all. Can you elaborate on what your, like, when you applied to college, what was the resume we were dealing with? Because mine was really bad. Mm-hmm. And I was involved in a lot of clubs that, like, weren't real. Okay. Like, I was in one club that was real, which was Harvard Model Congress, which was basically the domestic version of Model UN. And we would go and compete at Harvard.
Okay.
Every year. And it was really fun. And we did like a mixture of like mock trial, or then you'd be in Congress and you'd try and pass bills and like blah, 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 blah. That was the only real thing that I did, period. So I'm dying to know what your stacked resume was.
Okay. Let me clear my throat. I was class president.
What?
Yes.
What was your campaign? What was your platform?
I ran unopposed.
Okay.
I ran unopposed. And had I had a challenger, I probably wouldn't have won. But I know what I, like, I think I was class president freshman. I think I was class president every year. No, it gets sadly even
They're just
worse.
Like, well, she's doing a good job. Let's just keep her around. Like, what did you do for your class? I remember like watching, you know, being like watching Disney movies or whatever, and like Hillary Duff being like, when I'm class president, we're going to get a soda machine. Like, what do you do?
Unfortunately, I did sort of have a little bit of Patty Simcox vibes in high school. That is a Grease reference. Yes. Like, Patty Simcox with like a little bit of an edge. But you end up planning the dances and like choosing the themes and picking where they're going to be. And with the pocketbook and guidance of adults, luckily. Yes. And then senior year, I had to plan like all of the senior activities. So there was like a senior service day, and then you do a senior cookout. Technically, I am supposed to be the one planning our high school reunions, and I have handed that off like a good president. I have
said, know when your line of duty has been served, and then you know when it's time to pass it on. Yeah. So, okay. So class president all 4 years.
Yes. And then I was captain of my high school tennis team and captain of my high school golf team.
Okay. We love balls. We love a ball.
Yes. To play golf and tennis as a teen girl is really wild. I like to say that my dad was creating the perfect second wife for someone.
I was going to say, do you have a joke about that?
I used to. And the thing is, I was not good at golf. I was good at tennis. And then our family friend, Bob Pretty, rest in peace, a hero and a legend, and I love him and I miss him, became our high school girls golf coach. And so I started playing just so I could be on the team because I loved this man so much.
That's sweet. Yeah.
And if you played high school golf, you got to miss school.
Okay, so this is like a lot of loopholes to, well, I'm going to get perfect attendance, but if I play golf, then I also get some days off.
Yes, yes.
And I do like that tennis and golf, you both get opportunities to wear slutty, cute athletic clothes, which I always wanted to play field hockey because I was like, well, you can be a slut when you play field hockey.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know if you can. I think that I just got that from seeing field hockey girls wear skirts. You know what I mean?
Okay, yes. That was really like the volleyball. Like the volleyball girls had these booties and these great legs. And then But my tennis uniform was pornographic. And that was not anyone's fault. I just had a huge ass. Like, my ass in high school was so big. And I should not have been parading around in a tennis outfit next to the track and field. You know, so it was like the shot put, they practiced beneath my ass. And it's like, that's not appropriate.
What was the tennis uniform? Was it like shorts and then like a skirt over top of the shorts? Or were you just in tight fitting shorts?
I was in a tennis dress.
That's slut central.
Which on some girls looked, you know, nun-like. But on me, right, because I was a child with a giant ass, it was, so the skirt came up, didn't even cover my ass all the way. And this was not, I was a virgin. Okay, so I know you hear my neck, my back, and then you hear my pornographic. I wasn't even with the Lord. Just no one wanted to fuck me. Actually, that's not true. I'm sure I could have found someone to fuck me.
I think that you could have found a bunch of people that wanted to take down the fat-assed class president.
That's true. And so we would be, and then you had like bloomers, which are basically the shorts that you like tuck the balls into.
Yeah.
And those can be little boy shorts. Sometimes they're just a bikini bottom, basically. I mean, it was, whoo boy. And that's the uniform of tennis. Like, it's not even if you're trying to be covered, your ass is probably going to be out.
And when you're running and when you're reaching for things and when you're, you know.
Yeah, so our asses were just out. Asses out.
Wow, ass out. Mm-hmm. Ass out, Megan Gailey. Okay, so we're bad at golf, good at tennis.
Yes.
Now what are we doing?
Definitely thespian society.
Of course, we love that. The only other person that has been on Thespian Society was the other Megan Stalter.
Wow, Megan good company.
Megan Stalter was also in Thespian Society. Not a single guest since has been on Thespian Society except for you.
And they just don't have the chops. They don't have the background that the Megans and I do. And Thespian Society.
I also wonder if it was more popular in the Midwest.
That may be true. Well, and by popular, it was not popular, but it did exist. And it was like my theater friends and I were in it, and you had to do specific things to get in it. And I made sure that I met those requirements. Like,
what did you have to do?
I think you had to like log a certain number of hours, and it wasn't just about being on the stage. You also needed to be behind the scenes. So we needed to be painting sets. You needed to be putting in your work all across the art form. And then I think senior year I had to direct a play. And then you had to have a certain number of hours that you were in, like you needed to be cast and stuff. You couldn't just get in Thespian Society and then coast. You had to book. I was also I was prom queen.
Wow.
Yeah. I buried the lead a bit on that because it's probably my most coveted.
Well, you know, I always ask toward the end of the episode, I always ask, what did you wear to prom? But since we're here, I kind of need to know what you wore to prom and who you took to prom and what. And did you? Oh, and also, I need to know if during all this overachieving, if you drank.
Okay. So I was not really drinking. And my brothers did drink. And one of my brothers also was like, quote unquote, going to Denny's, which meant he would just go get high at Denny's. Mm. So they were like a little bit wilder than me. My parents really, more specifically my mom, put the fear of God in me. And important to note too is that my high school and our rival high school both fed into a vocational high school, and my mom was a teacher there. So my mom could be reached via email, and this is in the early aughts, by any of my teachers at any moment because she was on like the school district email. And my mom was like PTA president when we were in elementary school, one of those moms. So very involved.
like mother, like daughter one.
I know. My mom was also prom queen. So it's really bad. It's really.
At the same high school?
No. Different high school. And like my dad, it's one of my fears that I would have a daughter and she would feel the pressure of needing to be a third generation prom queen. Because it's like, that can't happen.
I personally don't think that by the time.
Yeah.
Like if you were to have a daughter. And by the time that would come around, I don't
It'll
think
be abolished.
Gonna exist. I think it's going to be abolished.
Yeah,
I
do. We're not going to abolish the police, but we are going to abolish prom queens.
And that's what's really important, Megan. And people aren't talking about it.
And it's like, I'm going to have to like, this is not my prom queen crown, but I do have multiple crowns in my home. This is,
yes.
I got this at like some job where I think they were making fun of me for being
prom queen.
But now it does, you know, sit on my desk. So I wasn't really drinking. Also, the sports were factored in. My mom was really good at doing that thing of like, everyone will be watching you because you are the class president and they want to see you fall. You know, like that, like yeah. that type
Everyone loves to see a star fall. Yes. And you just need to give them one excuse to hate you and they will.
And she was doing it in like a kinder, gentler, softer, less abusive way. But that was sort of the message, which I do think probably had some, like if you're wasted, you're going to be the most in trouble. So I wasn't really drinking. I was definitely at parties where there was drinking and I would drink a little bit. I didn't really start drinking until I went to Europe with my friends summer after senior year.
Okay. And if there's a good place to start drinking, it's legally in Europe.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So now back to prom. What are you wearing to prom and who was your date? And did you have a boyfriend?
So no boyfriend. Junior year, I went with my friend Ryan, who was an out gay man in 2003.
Impressive.
In Indiana. So, you know, he was fun. And I wore, there was this store, this dress store at Keystone Fashion Mall called Cachet.
Cachet is a classic. Yes!
Oh my gosh. Cachet was the spot to get dresses because they were, for Indiana, they were really expensive too. And
they're luxurious. And also, just so you know, on Depop, there are like shops dedicated to cachet dresses from the late 90s and early aughts. Because the girlies, but if you think about it, cachet, that is really the style that like Gen Z is obsessed with now that they didn't get to live through.
It's kind of true because I remember those Jessica McClintock dresses that were so insane. You know what, you've obviously a reaction. I know
Jessica McClintock is a name that just sent me. Also, what an insane name for a company. Like you're naming your company and you're just like, I'm just going to use my name, Jessica McClintock. It's so crazy.
But that was the time, like when I got a Kate Spade in high school, I was like, huge. You cannot tell me anything. So like women's names were the calling card of high fashion then. And so I remember my mom being like, Jessica McClintock is nouveau. Okay, we are not doing that. But instead, I'll take you to this grown woman's dress shop.
Cachet.
And Cachet was one of those places where they did have you write down, I am Megan Gailey, I go to Lawrence Central High School, and I got X dress, you know? So then...
this is no crossover.
But there would be, you know, these bitches do not care, okay?
No. They want to make a sale, hun. It works. Yeah. It's a commission-based job.
Yeah. And the boldness, because so we crowned prom queen and king junior year. And then senior year. Yeah. And then senior year is homecoming. King and queen.
I see. Okay. And were you homecoming queen?
I was on court and I did not win.
Mm.
Yeah. And that hurt me. No, it was, but I was happy because, well, these bitches, for homecoming court, we all were like, okay, what are we going to wear? You know, we were friends. We all wanted to like be in sort of like how the Real Housewives have a theme at a reunion. Yes. And if they
it's
don't,
like a
it's
coordination.
Yes. If they don't, it's full fucking chaos. So we were like, okay, well, we'll all wear a suit. And so I go out and get this chic little cream suit.
gorgeous. Honestly, sophisticated first lady is what that's.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And then get this cute little shirt to go underneath it that was kind of low cut for me. And I believe a larger Argyle pattern.
And that is back. That is back. Okay. The large Argyle is back.
And so I show up in this Hillary Clinton suit and I get there and all these bitches are in skin tight hoe dresses. And I'm like, I cannot believe you left me out here to dry. And my dad, our dad's got to walk us. Cause you know, that's like a big thing. Your dad is proud of you. Cause you're hot and the rest of the school wants to fuck you, you know? So my dad and I were in suits and then the rest of the gals, I was so mad. And then to lose.
is mortifying. Like to lose in a suit? Are you kidding me?
A white suit. I felt, truly I'm Hillary. I was 2016 Hillary.
You were, you know, first of all, I'm obsessed with teenagers and preteens in suits. I love seeing it. I love to see it. Because there's always someone at your high school or in middle school that like comes to school more formal. There's always that person, you know, and it's like a boy would come in slacks and like a button down if you don't go to a uniform school, or you'd have like suit girl who was like pretty formal and would wear like tights underneath with like a shoe, like a flat, you know. And I just love the personality type of anyone that's like, I'm gonna wear a suit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wear a suit.
And it was crowned at football, at a football game. So it was like I wore a cream suit to a October outdoor football game in Indiana and looked at the other girls and was like, you were wrong. Like, I was right and all of you look stupid.
You are AOC stepping onto the Congress floor.
Yeah.
You are a suffragette.
In my little kitten heel. And this suit fit because my mom has a tailor, Mrs. Choi. We still are in contact. My mom called me last week and put Mrs. Choi on the phone, a woman I have not seen in upwards of 20 years.
She wanted to congratulate you on the baby.
She did. She did. She wanted to congratulate me on the baby. And then she told my mom that she watched my half hour. And so.
And that's beautiful. That's generational support.
So Mrs. Choi tailored this thing within an inch of its life. So my booty was good. You know, like I did have to have things cut to my body.
Yes.
Giant corn fed ass.
I love that. I wish I had a corn fed ass. I had no ass and I was no ass justice.
Yeah, but now you have a perfect ass.
Because I work so hard. I work relentlessly on my ass.
And I did start to say huge. And then I was like, I know that not everyone wants to. I miss my high school ass, genuinely. Yeah. Like, also, I'll send you a picture for when the pod comes out.
Yeah. I can't wait.
This dress that I wore junior year, my ass. I remember my friend Matt taking the picture because this is when you still had like printouts. Taking the picture of my ass and walking across the quad, like the commons area, and yelling to our group of friends, "Can you still see her ass?" And you could see it across the commons in a photograph.
Wait, what was the dress from Cachet?
It was like this coral, straight across coral, tight. And then when it hit my knees, fanned out.
Not a little mermaid.
Not dissimilar to my wedding dress. Now that I describe it. And then senior year, I said, Cachet did such great work. I got to go back. And I did, remember that? I think the designer is Alan Schwartz, and he did like the knockoff Oscar dresses.
Cachet carried those.
So I had another, I think it was an Alan Schwartz, and it was strapless and it was gathered at my side torso.
Yeah.
And it was different shades of blue. So it kind of looked like the dress in Sleeping Beauty when all of the fairy godmothers are. It's sort of like that with just shades of blue.
That sounds stunning.
Thank you. A girl did have the same one as me senior year.
No.
She was a junior. And it's like, I'm reigning prom queen. And I know Cachet told you.
Yeah. And also go home and change.
Yeah.
Also, go home and change. I have an idea. Go home and take that dress off.
She stole one of my friend's boyfriends too. So it was like, oh boy, yeah.
Okay, on that juicy note, we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Okay, I need to know, did you have a boyfriend at all in high school?
No.
Really?
No boyfriend. I had too much on my plate. No.
Did have too much on your plate, though. You did. Between perfect attendance, sports, being class president, where was a boyfriend going to go?
Yeah, and I did want a boyfriend, and when we went to theater competitions, I did like meet guys that way, and there were guys I would like make out with and stuff, but I didn't have a boyfriend. And I was one of those girls, like when, oh gosh, I hated this. They would always be like, when you get to college, the boys are gonna, and it's like, it's okay. You don't need to like pander to me.
Yeah, you don't need to like make me feel better by telling me the boys are going to attack me when I get to college.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that. I think I've spoken about this one time on the pod, but always worth me bringing up again. When I was a freshman, I went to boarding school in Connecticut, and I had a boy tell me, because I like wasn't getting asked to the winter formal, and like I didn't fully understand why. And I had like one of the popular boys in my class tell me that I shouldn't worry, that even though like no one really wanted to go with me, that I was the kind of girl that was going to be hot when she turned 40. Yeah. And I just remember like physically, you know, you're so uncomfortable being a teenager. There's no like, you couldn't pay me to go back in time to be in my developing body. Mm-hmm. Like such a terrible time for like, I think all teenagers at large. I think it's hard for everyone, but I think like girls between the tits and the pubic hair and the period and
even
know,
just the discharge. And
the discharge. Can we talk about how embarrassing discharge was forever?
I have now given vaginal birth to an 8-pound baby, and I'm still like, what's going on down here? You know, like
I know.
They kept going, do you want a mirror? And I'm like, no. Like, and I think some of that is just like, what is it? Because it is really like, even when you, the idea that someone might see your underwear or like my parents were in town last week and my dad was folding my laundry and I'm like, give that to me. Like I'm a 36-year-old woman, but it's still, there's like a level of shame. That's
really, so much shame.
And truly everyone has it. And it does not speak to cleanliness, godliness, nothing. It's just like, yeah, there's shit in your body and it comes out. And I mean shit as in vaginal discharge. And it what goes up must come down. Some of it's come. Yeah. It's really, but when you're 12, you're like, what the absolute? I couldn't figure out how to get a tampon inside of me to save my life.
What did you do?
I wore pads.
But then when did you finally crack the tampon?
Like probably senior year. Like it took me it took me a while, and I was like afraid, and I was a virgin, and so I was like, can my vagina even take it? And I had like, I think at some point in high school, my period would be on for 2 weeks and then like off for 3 days and then come back for 2 weeks. Like it was just, my system was, didn't know what was happening. And I felt so much shame. And my mom is a nurse and I tell her everything. And I was like too scared to tell her because I'm like, I think something is wrong. And right. But I'm too embarrassed to even own up to it.
See, this is when I wish the internet was more, I mean, we had the internet, obviously, but like the access, looking shit up, it was on like Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, you know.
No, we were only had the internet for AIM. And it's like, I was not going to make my away message, why is my period here 20 out of 30 days? That would have been high school suicide.
It's mortifying. Mm-hmm. Is there like a story that sticks out in your memory where you're just like, wow, that is so emblematic of high school for me?
Yeah. So my two best friends in high school were a year older than me and were really cool, even the year older of me. And so that was like, honestly, a dream come true. Like, one of them was the really, really nice, sweet girl who was a state-level gymnast that every guy was in love with, still to this day. She's married, has two children. We go out to eat, and it's like, no one looks at me and my other friend. Like, everyone loves Abby. It's comical. Also, big fat booty. And then my other best friend was and they're still two of my best friends, was this really like, I guess at the time she wasn't as wild, but like, fuck you, I'll punch you, tall, thin, hot, badass Lindsay. So the fact that either one of them wanted to be my friend was crazy. And we would take out my parents' boat all the time. Junior year, the summer.
What kind of a boat?
A speedboat. A speedboat, yeah. And so we would take out my parents' speedboat every day of the summer going into my junior year, their senior year. Like, it was, I don't even know how good I had it. Like, we would go out on the boat. We would hang out, lay out. And the thing is, they both had perfect bodies and I was thicker. And it was like, I didn't feel good about my body in any way. And then I remember another friend had like a great body and had acne. And I remember being like, would I have a perfect body if I had to? Like, I was constantly doing those, like, would I trade bodies with them? Because I just hated my own body so much. And we would go out and pretend, I think, that we were older than we were.
Sure.
And a man from a rival high school ended up hitting on Abby, who was in the water in a cowboy hat. And then he was like, what are you ladies getting into? And we're 16 years old. And he thinks we're 25. And so we're like, oh, you know, we're just going to like stay in and watch movies because we can't do anything.
And you're like, then, you know, have some Chardonnay and watch.
Yeah,
some
we're going to take a weekend off from hitting clubs. And then I was at a tennis match like 2 weeks later, and this guy walks up, and he is in tennis, you're not allowed to have coaching, but like you can have coaching on the changeovers. So he was like watching, and I noticed him because I was like, is he going to try and coach? I will yell at him. I was right. constantly getting in fights with other teams. That was my big thing. I could break you down. And I turn around, and this man was. He worked at our rival high school. This man that had been trying to hit on us on the boat. And like,
oh my God.
He saw me and his face dropped. Like, it was nothing had happened, but just the idea that like he had hit on.
Oh my God.
A teen girl. Not even me. But he knew I was the friend of.
That's awful.
And then one time I did shit my pants at school, and no one knows. No one knows. But now they do.
When did you shit your pants?
Well, to maintain my, I was so sick, but I needed to go in to do my drama final or else I was not going to get perfect attendance. And so I go to school like deathly ill, do my final. Kill it, of course.
What was it? Was it a monologue?
It was a monologue. And like our grading system was so intense that like you had to have it word for word. And for every word you got wrong, a point got taken off. Yes. Oh, and we're talking God. Like, we're talking if you miss a the. Like it had to be memorized word for word for word.
Well, honey, it's a good thing these people aren't watching self-tapes, okay?
Yeah, that, now I'm like, do I have it? Like, it's like still drilled into me. It's like, you know, no wonder I'm not booking. I'm memorizing too hard.
No, now I'm like, yeah, it's the same sentence that yeah, I said, essentially.
They get the gist.
Yeah, they get the idea.
The vibe is there. And so I do my, and then I kept being like, I need to like go to the nurse's office right now. Like I need to leave right now. And my teacher was like, not yet, not yet. Like, and I was finished and she would not let me leave. And so then she finally let me go. And as I was going to the nurse's office, luckily no one was in the hallways. It was not a passing period. I shit my pants and like right as I got to the nurse's office. And luckily since my mom is a nurse, she knew the nurse, you know, school nurses, they travel together.
Nurse to nurse.
So she called my mom nurse to nurse and said, I need you to come get Megan and I need you to bring a change of clothes and you're gonna need to come in. So like my mom had to come in and clean the nurse's like station and put me in new clothes and ushered me away.
Oh
yeah.
God.
But it was really, if I had waited any longer in that classroom, I would have shit my pants in junior year drama and that would have been
tough. Thank God. Thank God you got
that. Would
out
have been
there.
Tough to come back from.
You can't. You wouldn't have. You would have. All, no one would remember you for all of your accomplishments. No one would remember you for that stunning white suit at homecoming court. Mm-hmm. Everyone would just remember you as they would say, did you watch Megan Gailey's Half Hour? Oof, and everyone would say, yeah. And they say, remember when she shit her pants in school?
Yeah. 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 It would have been. And it would have been, oh, with that big old booty. You know, of course, no wonder she had so much shit in there. That ass is massive.
Yeah, she stores a lot of shit in that ass.
But I definitely got my period. Maybe this was more middle school. I bled through every single pair of pants I owned in middle school.
Sure.
I just kept a sweater in my locker to tie around my waist. Because it was like, I'm going to bleed through. And that's that. Nothing
sometimes
I can do about it.
Sometimes when I would get really paranoid in middle school about my period, I would, because I used tampons day one because I did ballet. And I remember like the girlies with the thick pads, you'd see.
No, you'd see.
And I, you know, anyway, so I did tampons from the beginning. But then once my period started getting heavier and once I started leaking, I would get so paranoid that for some reason, I thought this was smart. I would do one pad on top of my underwear and then one pad in my pants. Like I would double layer pads.
You were scared.
Scared.
Wow.
Scared, scared, scared. I was like anything to not have. But then I realized that I just have like thick pad vagina, you know?
Yeah. And And I was afraid of leaking, and I was also maybe equally afraid of toxic shock, which was really TSS. Drilled. Yes, which I still to this day don't know anyone that's ever had.
I don't either, but just so you know, I am so scared of toxic shock that I change my tampons like if I'm awake, I change it every 4 hours.
Oh,
I'm crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't sleep in tampons because I'm terrified of toxic shock. I am terrified of toxic shock.
I mean, it feels like an urban legend.
Well, you know, I do. The one person that I know of that has toxic shock or had toxic shock is now she was a model before, but she had to get her leg amputated.
What?
Yes. Yes.
And I've heard of people putting a second tampon in, not knowing that there was a first in.
Oh, you better believe I fully finger myself after I take out, you know, sometimes I've even been crazy terrifying. Enough where, like, I've been having sex with Abe and I've been like, hey, do you feel anything up there? Did I leave anything up there?
It's so scary. Yeah. It's the idea of having a tampon just wedged almost behind the couch, like it's behind the cushion. You're not going to find it. It's
not
like when the channel changer is in between and you've looked up, that's it really is. And sometimes the little, you know, the little string, it'll be tucked up somewhere.
Oh yeah. It'll be inside your asshole.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The tampons in your vagina, string in your asshole.
Yep. And that is, once again, something we were not going to ask Jeeves for.
No. Jeeves, what do I do when the string is in my asshole?
It's so crazy that we just had to
figure it out.
I have lactation pads in my bra right now. Like, I wear tampons now, not over pads because my tits leak.
You're wearing tampons and lactation pads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to function. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm still breastfeeding. Got my period twice already.
Wait, did you like not usually get your period when you're still breastfeeding?
It's a lie.
It is a lie.
Yeah. And you can also get pregnant when you're breastfeeding.
Oh, one of my friends got pregnant when she was breastfeeding.
Yeah. It's a lie. Wow. Everything we've ever learned is a lie.
Is a lie.
Yes. Everything about women that we've been taught is a lie to keep us just afraid of bleeding through things and having our legs amputated.
Absolutely. Oh, knock, knock, knock. Is that a knock on the door I hear? Why, yes, it is. We're in your high school guidance counselor's office, and I'm your high school guidance counselor. In this section of the show, you get to rectify a wrongdoing of your high school past. You can say fuck you to someone, or you can apologize to someone. This is a portion where you just get to clear your conscience, and once you rid yourself of the past, you never need to think about it again in your future.
Okay, so I did apologize to someone from high school once, and then they said back to me, I have no idea what you're talking about. You were one of the nicest ones to me. And so I was like,
I love
that. But then I was like, oh no. Like, then it made me even more sad because I was like, no, I had a guilty conscience and they're saying that I was good to them. So no apologies. I'd actually like to say fuck you to my high school guidance counselor who
I love that.
I think did have too many clients, too many kids to counsel, but she did forget to send my transcript, which you've heard, not even all of it, which was impressive. She forgot to send it to a school.
Mm-hmm. That's like what happens in Orange County. Do you remember that movie?
Yes. Yes.
When Colin Hanks, he's only applying to Stanford. And then I think Allison Janney is playing the high school counselor.
She is the counselor in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Or wait, so maybe it's not Allison Janney. Because
she's like his throbbing member.
His throbbing member. Now I need to see Orange County. Anyway, but that's what screws him over from getting into college. And that happened to you?
Yeah, and I ended up going to state school and it was fine. Like, I built up that incredible resume and then I could have gone into the college I went to by just showing up.
Sorry, really quickly, I believe that the high school guidance counselor in that was the legendary Jane Addams.
Wow.
Who we know and we love.
Yeah.
Fuck your high school guidance counselor.
And she was a nice woman. I think she had too much on her plate, and I think they probably spread too thin. But I remember being like, come on, what the fuck?
Well, it's kind of like you have one job.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not counseling me because I'm going to a woman that specializes in adolescent girls. So that's not on your docket. You really just need to send this to – and I'm like, how many kids are applying to Cornell? Like, can you just fucking get it together? And I was a legacy.
Did you end up applying – like, did your application end up going through, or was it just fucked because of that?
It ended up getting fucked. And then I was like, you know what? I didn't want to write the essay anyways. So I had a half complete application to Cornell where my dad really wanted me to go, where I didn't really want to go anyways.
Well, fine. And then you went to Purdue and you were around a bunch of astronauts.
And Purdue cost $4. And I think if I had gotten out of college with crippling student debt, I wouldn't have done stand-up because I would have been like, I need to make money now. And I was like, oh, okay, I feel fine being a bartender. But people would come in post-graduation and be like, oh, how are you? Like, sad for me. And it's like, I'm fine. I'm having a great time.
Well, I do think there is that shock. Well, now this, we're going to get into it by the end of the podcast when I ask you what your senior superlative was, because I am curious if you did that or if you had one. Mm-hmm. But I need to know, if you could go back in time and give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
I think I honestly would tell myself to just really commit to trying to get a tampon in. I think it would have saved me just like a lot of issues.
You could have done it. I know you could have done it.
I know. And I think I needed my mom maybe more on board. And
but your mom was a nurse.
I know. I think maybe there was something about her that felt maybe like when she has a tampon and I've lost my baby, but it really would have helped a lot of different swimming situations. If I could have just gritted my teeth and shoved even just a light up there.
Yeah. I mean, a light is basically the girth of your pinky, you know?
I know. I think part of the issue was I wasn't a friend's sister was the first person to try and teach me. And then I was so overwhelmed and so scared that I was too afraid to circle back. It's kind of like me and skiing. It's like you have one bad experience and then you go, I'll just sit in the lodge.
Yeah. Wait, were you masturbating in high school?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like a lot of my friends that I know that were not tampon users also were not very exploratory with themselves.
But by masturbating, I was like pillow masturbating. Not
humping a pillow.
Yeah, I was pillow humping. And then I was also at any turn, if there was someone who wanted to dry hump, I was thrilled to do that.
Oh, I love a dry hump.
Me too. I still do.
Me too.
Married women, we like it still. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
That's a good, you know, when you go, listen, I'm tired, but it would feel good. It is a nice dry hump with my husband.
Yeah. No, we don't have sex. We just dry hump. To completion each time.
Yeah. No, we both come and sometimes I can come from dry humping and not sex. It's a weird Catholic trick I have.
Wow. Coming from dry humping. The female bodies are a mystery. Okay, now I have to know, we're at the last question of my podcast. Did you have a senior superlative?
And that's like best.
Yeah, or it's like most likely, bestest.
It's really fucked up. I did it.
How? Did your school do them?
So my school did do them. And then my senior year, they ended up sort of changing them to be more like jokey. Like,
yeah,
it was
that's
like,
what mine was.
It was like most likely to be on The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And so it was like, and so I didn't get any of the
jokey. You didn't even get a jokey one?
No.
Well, so what I was going to say was I could see how people you went to high school with probably were like, Megan Gailey, like the overachiever, the perfect attendance, the class president. And then you go to college, you get out of college, and then you're like, yeah, I'm a bartender in Chicago and I'm doing stand-up. They were probably like, oh, what?
Yeah.
It was probably a moment where all of them were like, wait. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be the one that's like running for Senate in, you know, Indiana. Like, what do you mean you're doing stand-up and you're a bartender? But then you proved them all wrong, or if they ever had any doubts.
It circled back. I do have a vivid memory of being at one of my favorite bars in my 20s, and it was my favorite bar because they gave out free hot dogs and free popcorn, and I was housing a hot dog. And like two tables over, I heard a guy point to me and go, that was our prom queen. As I'm like mid shoving a hot dog like the daughter in Coneheads at the Subway.
Oh, what a dick.
I was, but like the thing is, yes, I was.
Yeah.
And I love hot dogs.
Like, it's called duality, babe.
Right. Thank you. I can be everything.
You were in thespian society, hun. If he doesn't think you have range,
right,
he was mistaken.
I mean, thank you.
Hot dogs are, and someone actually messaged me that hot dogs are, I would like to clear something up because a listener of the podcast did correct me that hot dogs are not barbecue. Now, that is true. I see her POV on this, that hot dogs are not barbecue in the sense of like traditional meat
ribs,
barbecue.
We're talking brisket. Ribs.
Yeah. Correct.
But they are served pork. At a barbecue.
Yes. I'm talking dishes served at a barbecue. And for me, my favorite meat dish served at a barbecue is a hot dog.
I love hot dogs so much. My dad knows so many facts about hot dogs. Like, he'll be like, you know, a hot dog has the same calories as a low-fat yogurt. I'm like, all right. Then let's have one for
breakfast.
Don't
have to tell me twice. Yeah. My favorite meal as a kid was Kraft macaroni and cheese with cut up hot dogs in it.
Wow. And I can't even believe that your parents had either of those. Like, I think of you as eating caviar as a kid.
Well, when I was little, my parents, because this was like pre-health.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were still in like, you know, diet, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. Like, everything has aspartame. Everything is like, you know, that, oh, snack well, like diet cookie.
I loved the Wow chips that gave everyone diarrhea.
Oh, me too.
And then I was like, yeah, we have diarrhea. Who cares? When they took them off the market, I'm like, no, what? I put them on the market and I'm willing to have diarrhea. You don't need to take, it's like a helmet on a motorcycle. Let me be in charge.
But like, when I was little, I think that my parents were so busy. It was purely convenience-based feeding. Mm-hmm. So it was like macaroni and cheese, fine. Oh, pizza, so fine. Good. McDonald's, fine. Taco Bell, fine. Like,
delicious.
The kids are with the babysitter. They're in her car.
They got nuggets. They're good to go.
They got nuggets. Greta's going to dance. Emily's going to ride horses. They'll meet up and eat cheeseburgers afterwards. Yeah. So, you know.
And we were healthy.
Miraculously. And then once, like, you know, hummus started becoming something in my household, then it was like all of the things I loved were gone. Then it was, you know, hummus and sushi and like shit
there,
like that.
There was also like that mid-stop point at Atkins. Oh. When everyone, like, when I knew so many dads that lost like 75 pounds, it was like, I ate 8 pieces of bacon. And it was like, wait, what? I was so confused even as a child. I go, something doesn't add up.
No, my parents also did Atkins. My parents did Scarsdale with that bread that you would make. My parents did South Beach diet.
Oh, my mom was a South Beacher. Yeah.
The ricotta cheese dessert. I've talked about it on this podcast a million times. Yeah. It's just
South
like,
Beach. I can see the cover of the book in my mom's kitchen right now.
Spiral bound. Spiral bound.
Now she's a Whole 30 gal.
And you know what? Whole 30 is good. Whole 30 actually is very reasonable, and it's a well-rounded diet that's not telling you to like only eat meat and no vegetables.
Yeah, because when I see keto, I'm like, Oh, yeah, I've seen this before.
Yeah,
and this can't be good.
Keto's fully Atkins, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, they don't want to say that, but we know that.
We know the truth.
We've seen it all. You can't get a weird fake diet past us, okay?
No, Megan and I are actually pitching a docuseries to Netflix titled The Truth Behind Keto, The Atkins Conspiracy. Megan, this has been so fun having you on my podcast. I always love, love, love chatting with you. You're the best. You're truly one of the best chatters in the biz.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. I love to chat, chat, chat.
Where can all of my little listeners find you and follow you and listen to you?
Well, I have really exciting upcoming podcasts. I host a podcast for the Lifetime Network, yes, as in the films, called with Naomi Ekperigin. Yes.
We love.
Oh, absolutely. One of the greatest voices of our time. Mm-hmm. And it is called I Love a Lifetime Movie, and we are upcoming to the holiday season.
Oh, fabulous.
Where we get into all of the Lifetime Christmas movies, and wow, they are really something special, and we always have stars of the films stop by.
I love that.
Patti LaBelle is in one of the new ones. Mr. Booked, Busy, Blessed Mario Lopez is in another one. He was in one last year.
Sexual, sexy. Oh yeah, charming man.
They bring out the A+ celebs for the Christmas films. And I am saying Christmas instead of holiday because we all know what they are. Yeah. And then I host another podcast.
Podcast.
CJ loves to make fun of me when I say words wrong. It's his favorite thing. That and when I ask people if they want me to take a picture and they say no. So my other podcast is called Megan Fun of Sports. I am a sporty spice. And I host that with another Megan who loves sports. And I'm going to be on... No, it doesn't matter. And then my socials are at Better Megan Gailey on Instagram and at Megan Gailey on Twitter, which how long are we for Twitter? I'm still there because I do like talking sports, but I know our days are probably numbered.
I don't use my Twitter, so smart. I'm kind of like, why do I have this?
But yeah,
like,
smart.
I still have it, but I think I just need to delete it because I don't use it. And honestly, like, I thankfully don't get trolled as much anymore on Instagram, but Twitter is where like people are mean to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, if I can just get rid of this and like cut off an access point for people to be mean to me and also not support like
right
whatever's going on over there, happy to do it. Maybe we should just, you know, delete our twats together.
I know. I just really love sports. And there's a lot of funny things happening. It's like it's the last stand.
It's that. I think it's for sports. And like, this is so nerdy, but I like it because I can look up like LA news and like LA traffic and it's immediately generated there. Like if I see a bunch of police helicopters circling around my neighborhood, I can type in the keywords and it comes up and it doesn't come up anywhere else. So
no,
that's,
you can't do that on TikTok, kids.
And I don't want Citizen because too much fucked up shit happens all the time. That if I have Citizen, it's just like boo, 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 boo. And then it's like, well, I just need to move to the middle of Montana. You know what I mean?
You find out a lot of people wielding machetes just in the middle of the day.
Metal poles, machetes, a lot of bow and arrow, crossbow.
And it'll be like 18 feet away. And you're like, wait, is it my husband coming to kill me? He's in the house. It's too late, citizen. Get me a dateline. Make sure you have the best headshot. Please show them I was prom queen. And I, of course, light up a room.
That's so funny. Megan, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. It's been such a treat to have you on. And thank you to all of my beautiful listeners for listening to another absolutely perfect, stunning episode of my world-renowned, famous podcast, Senior Superlatives. Please email me at seniorsuperlativespod@gmail.com for a little classmates corner. And, you know, as I say every week, stay cool, never change. Until next time, ciao.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.